Thank you so much, Pasita, for reading that passage from 2 Kings. I tell you, when I think back to a couple weeks ago and I kept getting Noah and Jonah mixed up, I'm not sure I could have said these two prophets without mixing them up. Elisha, I would have mixed him up. But you can be seated. And thank you so much. This woman is awesome. So, but now I ask all of you to please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel is from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 8. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and brought them to the top of a very high mountain where they were alone. He was transformed in front of them, and his clothes were amazingly bright, brighter than if they had been bleached white. Elijah and Moses appeared and were talking with Jesus. Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good that we're here. Let's make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He said this because he really didn't know how to respond, for the three of them were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice spoke from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God that lives and dwells in our hearts. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Now, everyone can be seated. Pasita, you can sit down. You actually can sit down. Pasita? You can sit down, honey. You can sit down.
Right here?
Right now. Mm-hmm. We're finished with it. Right, so you can sit down right now.
Okay. It's nice to be able to have a perfect teacher to come help me when I need the help. So, all of you, thank you for being gracious and patient for 1 minute for her to get me on track again. Let me see you all smile, then I know that you've forgiven me. I see a nice smile from our neighbors. Thank you very much. I'm talking to Harrisons from Pennsylvania. They've forgiven me. How about all of you? Let me see all of you smile also. Okay, Coquino, I appreciate that. And regardless of what happens today, this has been a very, very precious moment for me because I haven't been in front of people as many as you for many, many years. And I thank you all for your gracious, shining teeth. I hope all of you have brushed your teeth this morning. If you haven't, remember to do that when you get home. And with our delicious breakfast we had this morning, I would say, go home and brush all the little nippets in between the teeth. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Pasita.
Yeah, here?
No.
See, I'm still being helped this morning.
We are right here. I have to give my sermon.
Yeah, that's you.
That's me, yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to know I'm able to recognize her this morning.
You can sit, okay? So, this morning, I'm supposed to preach after this, so yes. So, when I read both of these lessons, I was like Peter on the mountain, seeing Moses and seeing Elijah and seeing Jesus transfigured. I was like, what? How am I supposed to preach on this? What is this supposed to mean? And the same thing with the story that came from the Hebrew scripture. What is this supposed to mean? What does it mean to 21st century Christians? And so, after some thought, I looked at the Hebrew scripture a little bit more, and the importance of the Hebrew scripture is is that it's a reminder of God being with God's people, the Israelites, through everything. They are going from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho, places that Israel conquered as they were coming into the promised land. But Elijah and Elisha were going backwards. The people coming into the promised land had gone Jericho, Bethel, and Gilgal, I think. But the way it's written now that they're coming in, they're going backwards. It's as if they're going out of the promised land. And they're going out of the promised land because, once again, the people of Israel are not following God's covenant. There's also some other similarities that help us remember the history. Moses actually gave the mantle of leadership, if you will, to Joshua. Elisha, in this story, is giving the mantle of leadership to Elisha. They're passing on this prophetic leadership ability. The River Jordan. Did you notice at the River Jordan where Elijah took his mantle off and rolled it up and struck the river, and the riverbed was dry so they could walk across on dry land? The same thing is what happened with Moses. And the same thing then again happens with Elisha when Elijah has gone up into the heavens, Elisha goes back to the land of Israel, crosses that river Jordan again, but he also strikes the river with the mantle that came from Elijah, and the waters dried up so that he could walk across. Also in this story, Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit to be given him. And rabbis down through the ages say that's exactly what happened. Elijah performed 8 miracles, or so they say, in reading the other stories, while for Elisha it was 16. This is all a reminder for us and the Hebrews that were reading these stories and the Jews that read these stories today of God's presence through the ages. God from beginning, God through Noah and Moses and Joshua and Elijah and Elisha, even on to today's gospel. So today's gospel starts 6 days later. And my question was, what happened 6 days before? You know, it's like sometimes these gospel writers don't think very well. They don't explain things to us like, I want to know what happened before. Well, this gospel reading today is from chapter 9 of Mark. In chapter 8 of Mark, Jesus, for the first time in the gospel of Mark, foretells to his disciples and his followers what's going to happen to him, that he is going to be arrested and crucified and die. So Peter and the disciples were a little confused already when Jesus invites Peter and James and John to go up the mountain. And there on that mountain, what happens? Jesus is first transfigured, or his clothing transfigured. And to be honest with you, many theologians through the ages have thought of what that might have meant. It might have meant that is when Jesus received his divinity. But for most Christians, that's not the case. For most Christians, Jesus was born both divine and human. It might have been that Jesus was covered with this dazzling light to show God's glory, and maybe that's true. We don't really know. And you know what? It's okay to say we don't quite understand that. And Peter did just that. Peter tried to solve a problem that wasn't a problem. Peter said, let me build 3 tents, or let me build 3 houses, or 3 booths here, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Jesus, and we'll stay here. But why? There was no problem. But that was Peter's human response to this event that he could not explain. I think of it in many ways like the first time I saw the Nepali coast and those tall cliffs. I came to Hawaii at the end of September. I have never been to Hawaii before. And I saw those Nepali cliffs, and I saw the Waimea Canyon, and I was in awe. And my first response was to pick up this and start taking pictures to send home. And it's like, it dawned on me, no. I mean, yeah, I can take pictures, but they're not going to be as good as some in the books that I can find. I just spent a minute or two standing there and staring all around at this panoramic view of this canyon, something I'd never seen before. I mean, I've seen beauty, but this time it struck me differently. This time it struck me as something I just need to bask in the beauty of this area and in the awe of what God, through nature, has done. So Peter tried to solve a problem that didn't exist. And there are 2 points I want to make about Peter. Number one, starting with Wednesday, with Ash Wednesday, we are actually going to follow along with Peter's faith through Lent, our faith and Peter's faith, and see how much we're like Peter. And how much God, how much Jesus never, ever gave up on Peter, even when Peter denied him. When you leave today, if you haven't gotten one and you want one, there's a devotional booklet that goes along with these, all of the lessons for Lent. It's called Wandering Heart, because that was Peter's heart, figuring out our faith with Peter. The story of Kings rehearsed God's presence in history, and the story of the Transfiguration also included the remembrance of the prophets. But the next thing we can do as Lahui Christian Church is remember our history. Part of my call here is to be an intentional interim minister. The intentionality in this process is to look at 5 focus points, one of which is heritage, the heritage of this church. So over the past couple of weeks, I've been finding bits and pieces of information, just books that people have given me, or a copy of a 1975 celebration for, I think, this maybe the 75th anniversary of this church. But I also found something written in 1970. That told in little brief sentences the history of this church from 1889. That's a long time ago for me. I mean, I wasn't even born then. To be honest with you, I'm not even sure my grandparents had been born by then. But it was amazing when I read through that history, when I put down in an order what God had done, when I put things down in order, the events that happened, and I looked at them and I thought, this is another moment of awe, what we can learn from our history. From starting in 1889, probably just meeting in, maybe if they were lucky, a thatched hut somewhere with a Japanese missionary that came from, I think, Kalua area, and came here to minister to the Japanese immigrants on the plantation here in Lahui. Well, now you just get in a car and go to Kalua, or go from Kalua up here, you know? But think about that. So I'm in awe of that person, of God leading that person here to this place. I'm in awe of the fact that I looked at the pastors in this 125 years. There were many times that this congregation had a pastor maybe for 2 years and then a short period with none, and maybe 2 years more and a short period with none. And yet there were a couple pastors in there who stayed 10, 15 years. It's the story of the history. And it reminded me once again the way the story of Jesus' transfiguration and the story of Elijah and Elisha, how awesome our God is, and how we need to take time just to stand in that awe. Soren Kierkegaard said, he was a Danish theologian, said, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forward. And to close today's sermon, I want to read to you a paragraph from this booklet that was printed in 1975. It's a history, a celebration of this church. This is from Nelson Kwan, who was pastor of this church in 1975. But as I read a portion of this, understand these words are for Lihue Christian Church in 2024. The Lihue Christian Church can understand the present only in terms of the past. Our heritage, our current experience, and even our buildings are all products of the past. But to glory in past accomplishments and to forget the God of our history can become a deadly experience, because the future stands ready to challenge us, hopefully for newer, more exciting, and person-changing, in other words, transforming, person-transforming, transfiguring experiences. The penetrating question then remains with us. How can the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Yamasakis, Okamotos, and Usumis, lead us into the future? And I also add, the God of everyone who is sitting in these pews today, member or friend, how can that God, how will we let that God lead us into the awesome future through God's awesome power? Amen.